Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For all my life you have been faithful. Oh, yes you have. For all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able,
amen, amen. Welcome, welcome.
to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and this is our last meeting in the month of April. We are fast approaching the month of May, and we are so grateful for the goodness of God, his faithfulness to us, and how one season does flow into the next season. And it's part of his promise that he gave us. And we look at these promises and we see how magnificently he has manifested them to us. And it builds a confidence in our faith to know that he is faithful, that he is true to his word, that his promises are yea and amen, and they're given to us so that our journey may be rich and full of joy and celebration. Celebration as we come to the last chapter in the God You May Not Know. We're looking at David Jeremiah's final presentation in this book of the celebration of God, of the worship of God. He started the book sharing with us that you can only worship someone you know, and you only love someone you know. You have to love someone and know them. And when you know and love God, you worship him. It is the natural explosion, actually, of our emotions, of our hearts, of our spirit, because to know him is to love him and to understand the depth of his love and his person is a very powerful thing to get the revelation of, because it then gives us a revelation of how he has valued and loved and committed covenant relationship with us. When we look at the very first chapter in his book, it was over 20 times he expressed the name of God. And we had started the book saying, as you see them, make a note of them. And so in the beginning, he started with it, and in the end, he ended with it. So I just want to read what he started with according to the Bible. Our God is the everlasting Father, God of hosts, Lord of heaven and earth, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the comforter, the counselor, the creator. He is the great physician and the God of all grace. His name is I Am, the Alpha and Omega, and the Holy One of Israel. We can call him Jehovah, the Most High, and the Lord of the living and the dead. He is the maker, mediator, and man of sorrow. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king, our redeemer, our refuge, our rock. He is the ruler of heaven and earth, and with all of that, he is the friend of sinners, people that are not like him, people that don't want him, people that don't love him, people that don't know him, but he is their friend. You ever had a friend who wasn't a friend back, but you were a friend to them and you knew that you were supposed? That is a situation that brings forth the true abundant fruit of the Spirit with long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, and love, and patience, and our joy. All of those things come forth out of those kinds of relationships because we lose ourselves in our friendship, not unhealthy friendships, but those friendships that are based on the life of Christ, that look like Christ as a friend to us, looks like how God is all these things for us. Have you comforted someone? Have you counseled someone? You know, have you been the source of healing for someone? And these things are given to us through the adoption of the Lord God in heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us his sons and his daughters. So to be sons and daughters, we're to mirror. We are to image our Father. And in doing so, we need to know his name. We need to understand his personality and those quality and traits that are ascribed to him. And those are the things we are to emulate. It is so wonderful to know these things on a intellectual level, but it is marvelously amazing and miraculous to know them on an intimate relational level. And that's where he is drawing us. All that he does is to draw us nearer to him, to his image, to his likeness, to his power, and to an understanding of just who's, because when that becomes a truth, that it will free you from any fears. It will free you from the weaknesses you have. You won't mind them, because where you're weak, you know he is strong, and he is committed to you. He is faithful to you. He is unchanging. He is eternal. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty. All these things are the traits and characteristics and the attributes of our friends. And that is a powerful position for anyone to walk in. So if you had a friend that maybe was Elon, what is the man named Musk, that has all this money, you want to buy Twitter and everybody else, billions of dollars. If he were your personal friend, you would walk different. You would think different. You would do things with a different attitude and mindset. You really would, because you would know that that friend has your back. And anything you want, he tell you, you know, I'll give it to you because you my friend. Now, think of being him being your friend and being able to give you everything that he has access to. Now, this man is a bulk multi-billionaire, and I am sure, to be honest in our heart, we would live differently. Not so much in the things we possess, but just in the way we think about it, because we would know that there is a person that has a lot of power that, you know, he's my friend and I can rely on him. I can pick up the phone and call his personal number and he will answer when he sees my name on the ID. Oh, wait, that's my friend. Let's see what they want, you know, what they need or what they're just connecting with me. We don't always have to need or want something when we connect with God. But in that example, it gives us just a smidgen of how differently we should think every day, new and amazingly, about our relationship with the God of heaven, the everlasting Father, the Counselor and the Comforter, the Holy One, the Most High One, the priest, the prophet, and the king, the rock and the redeemer, and our refuge. All of these things are available to us through our friend, even when we are not being a good friend. And so we are starting, we started the book, and we are feeding on learning on the faithfulness of God. And as you grow, we grow with this knowledge and the attributes of the Father. It just defines, actually it continuously defines us as individuals. And so the different things that we come against and come up with and to and through our lives, the challenges and the trouble and the situations and circumstances, they go through this mindset that's being transformed because of the person of God that we have been acquainted with. And so we come to near the end, at the end of the book, and what he is sharing with us was how each instance in the Bible was communicated to the children of Israel, to the people in that era about God and God's attributes. And so as he revealed himself and one of his attributes, then a new name was released to their understanding of the God that they served. When they left Israel, they thought of him one way. But by the time when they left Egypt, they thought of him one way. But by the time they came out of the wilderness, they had realized many names of God that they did not know before, because they didn't have these experiences where he showed himself to them and the power that he had. And so as a result, they were constantly learning the more about God. Now, you couldn't have told the children of Israel when they were in Egypt that it was a God they didn't know. They would tell you they knew the Most High God. They knew the Holy God. But they may not have known God Nisi, Jehovah Nisi, God my banner. Okay, that was something that was revealed to them when they became a nation going in and conquering other nations that had been promised to them. And so that was the name of God that struck me, has always intrigued me, because I really wasn't sure, you know, what does that really mean? God, my banner, God covers me. You know, what does it mean? And I wanted it was a part of that, of God that I did not understand. I did not know. And that came actually while we were studying this particular section of the book, because I decided to just do some searching, if you will, about this God our banner. One of the things the ordination group is doing this year, they want a banner to represent them as a class. And so this whole idea of banner had been coming up. And so it's like, well, I need to figure this out. I need to understand this a little bit better, okay? And so they obviously had drawn a design of how they wanted their banner to look, and they had things on there that were important to them and spoken of them as a class. And so I was thinking, okay, so what does that mean if God is my banner? And so when I started looking it up, and one of the books that Apostle had told us to get, The Names of God by Ann Spaglet, and obviously I had it and was looking, but I don't recall looking at the information on the banner, God is my banner. And in the God You May Not Know book, it shares the fact that that a banner at that time, the banner, he's talking about, what was it about? In Exodus 15 through 16. And the banner they were speaking of was what armies would have when they went to war. They were going to war against the Amalekites, who were a very, very powerful warring people. These people, you know, that was what they did. Esau's descendants, and so they were powerful and wild, and they had an army that was renowned. And the children of Israel had just come out of Egypt. They didn't have any weapons. They, you know, had the shovels and things, but they didn't have weapons because they weren't a warring people. They were a working people, and so they didn't have all of those weapons of warfare, if you will. So when they come up against this nation of warriors, okay, their weapon or their support. And support only, they looked to Moses. Moses then looked to God, and God gave him what to do. And all he had to do was to hold up his hands. And as his hands were held up, they would win. If his hands came down, they would be losing this battle. And this went on for some time because Moses' hands grew tired. And so some of the people, Aaron and Ur, concocted a way to hold his arms up, one on one side and the other on the side, so that his hands remained steady until sunset, it says. And then Joshua overcame the Amalek army with the sword. The army with the sword, he overcame because God was their banner. And so, in a fighting war, the banners in that time were basically made out of metal. They weren't cloth. They were made out of metal, and they were shaped in such a way as to depict what was common of that nation. And so the Amalek had a banner, and it was on a stick, and they would raise it to indicate they were coming, and you would see this banner from far off. You would recognize the symbols on it, pretty much like we do a flag, and know, oh, that's the flag of America, or that is the banner of the Amalek. Well, that banner also was a place of gathering, so the army would know, this is where my people are. They're over here, and they would go towards that. Now, the thing that was powerful about this banner is the fact that it represented the reputation of the nation, that it was the banner of, pretty much like the banner they want to do for the class. They wanted to represent their reputation as a class. And so God being the Lord, our banner, then this banner is what will represent God on earth. And one of the things the children of Israel did when they first crossed the Jordan was, before they crossed the Jordan, they had sent spies. And the Rahab told them, you know what? We have heard about your God. So his reputation was out there. And his reputation was making them afraid. She was saying they are weak, because in realizing what your God can do, in other words, they're afraid of him. They respect his reputation, and they're fearful and they're trembling because of that. And so it's just another indication that they saw the banner of the Lord, that banner of the Lord, that flag of the Lord, or that emblem of who God was, and that reputation that God had. And he allowed the children of Israel, you will carry my banner. I will be the banner over you. So I am going to be the thing that they see, not you, you farmers and workers and builders of bricks. They're going to see me, the one who buried the whole Egyptian army in the Red Sea. So that's two separate reputations. But to know, and this is knowing that the people knew that the friend of the children of Israel was the Lord God Almighty. He was the Lord, their banner. He was the emblem of their power and their authority. He was the emblem of their might because of the attributes and characteristics that he revealed to the people. So the Lord, my banner, is my emblem of victory, of the impossibility to lose, because God is my banner. And he sent Christ as his representative banner on earth, and he covers us in total freedom. Freedom and overcoming. So we are, you know, more than a conqueror. All of that is because the Lord is my banner. And so that the Lord is my banner, really, I embrace it now with a truth that now will reflect in how I think when I think I am outnumbered, or when I think I am being better than outnumbered, I am being attacked, okay, spiritually, whether it's spiritual or emotionally, and my banner is the Lord. And so I know that when I am initiating my understanding of the Lord, my banner, then my attitude is going to change. My position, my stance is going to become firmer. You know how he says, having done all to stand. You know, and that's how that stance happens, stands in the firmness of knowing who is my banner, my power, and my my support. I'm on his side. That's the flag, if you will. That's the banner that I have gathered myself to, my emotions to, my understanding to, my desires to. They're wrapped around the Lord, my banner. Jehovah Nisi. So now that has a whole new set of truths associated with it that I picture now, and so they become more, or they become easier to dissimulate in my life. So that was my name of God. So we had challenged you all. Ooh. To do the same. So I showed you how I did it. Now, the lines are open. Share with us the way the Lord came to you and what name of God did he emphasize for you. This is your turn. Good morning, good morning.
What did you say, Paulette? I can't stop it.
So tell us what name of God and how you have related that name of God to your life now.
Oh. Okay, let me see. I had several.
Oh, good.
I'm gonna read it to you. Did I read it all day?
Okay.
First was Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd.
Oh yeah.
I have not
okay.
always had everything I wanted, but my God Jehovah Rohi has always provided everything I've needed, including goodness and mercy.
Yeah.
All my sons in every area of my life. During childbirth and in my sins, when I probably should have been fired from my job for being so outspoken as well. Jehovah Kadash, the Lord who sanctifies. When I first came to accept Jesus as Savior, I was told I had to sanctify myself. I've since come to the conclusion that I can't or couldn't do it in and of myself. He is and has been Jehovah Kadash, the Lord who sanctifies me. I fast and consecrated my life to him on many occasions, and it's my desire to get back into that practice even the more now in this season of my life. I can't read my own life, part of what this name meant, but I thank him for making me holy, setting me apart for himself, and perfecting that which concerns me. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, who is peace. In everything by prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, I presented my request to my God as I went through the process of being treated for cancer. The very peace of God guarded my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Yeah. Philippians says, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. I truly is your understanding when you give it to him. And he's still my peace. When the enemy tries to taunt my mind or fill me with the fear of dying or the return of. That's it.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. What a powerful testimony and revelation. And it really does. Oh, my God. It's just, it makes living a joy. It makes our journey one that we can have celebration in. Anybody else?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. One of the things Elder was, yes, Apostle. Oh, here comes our Apostle.
As you were teaching a few moments ago, the name that the Holy Spirit gave me was Yahweh Sabaoth. And it is the Lord of the armies, the Lord the enforcer, the Lord of the heavenly host will always fulfill his purpose towards me, even when earthly hosts fail. And that was out of 1 Samuel 1:3, 17:45, Psalms 46:7, and Malachi 1:10-7. And I've heard this, we've talked about this name of God, but I don't know that I necessarily saw it as the Lord's enforcement name, the name that brings forth his army of angelic hosts to come and do battle on my behalf.
Amen. So in having that does what to your walk this week?
Oh, it is going to strengthen. It is going to cause me to be willing to die daily because I don't have to be strong enough to fight my own battle or to advocate for myself or for his church. But it will cause me to go, Yahweh, whatever, Sabaoth. He's got it. He is the enforcement. I don't have to be. So it helps. It will strengthen me in this new journey to be the woman God is calling so that he can stand up and be him.
Amen.
I don't have to try to
be God.
Amen.
And that. Okay, hallelujah. excuse me. And that helps us to crucify flesh, like she said. Mm-hmm. And so you can be a real, you know, one of the things my grandson says when he goes, he says he just wants to be who he is. He doesn't want to always be in a battle trying to get people to receive him, okay? And that's what God of the army and the enforcer, gotta do it. And it frees you to receive that Jehovah Shalom, that peace that Elder Roberta was talking about. Because it's like, you know what, the struggle is done. Because he will, you know, because Jehovah, I'll read that. Because Jehovah, I think it's Sabaoth, you know, is the enforcer, you know. So these people that want to charge me more when they shouldn't, one of the books, it may have been this one, I don't remember, but it's saying we're not, we want things now, and we go about them politically picketing and protesting when to change something. But what needs to be changed, we should go about it praying, as the elder was sharing, sanctifying ourselves unto God, and that's what will bring the change. That's how the change will come, not through picketing and politics and picketing, politics, and protest, you know, and hollering and screaming and doing those kinds of things. It's just not going to happen that way. It may make some things change, but it won't change the people that are the ones that will bring it, that must put the change into effect. So we study the nature of God and some of his qualities and attributes. You know, we're ending this book with a survey of just some of the amazing names that tell us in personal terms who God is and what he is like. So these names help us when we address him in prayer, and as we want to call people by the right term, like if somebody is overseer or apostle, Shanette, you know, a Mr. or Mrs. or Sir or Ma'am or Mr. President or whatever, we want to use the right name when we are talking to them. And so in order to do that, we also need to use the right name and the appropriate wisdom and reverence when we're talking to God. That's what gives our prayer that specific, focused, and simple, and sincere. It goes right to the core, not a in general thing, but I want to talk right now to God, my banner, Jehovah Nisi. That's who I need to speak to now, okay, because I am on his side, and I want to go to where his power and his authority is when I address individuals that are in, what do you call it, you know, they're not in the same place I'm in, but I know that there's a truth that I need to reveal, then I'm going to reveal it because I am standing under the banner of God, his power and his authority, and it is his will, and we will go forth in it, with a joy. Somebody, I think that's just one of the robot calls. So because of that, it is a environment that should be created, disciples, the children of Israel. Every time the Lord showed them himself in another way, they built an altar. They got some stones, they built the altar, they stopped what they were doing, and they acknowledged him in all their ways, acknowledged him, and he'll direct your path. And so they acknowledged him, and they celebrated him. And so that's the book ends with this type of celebration that we are to have. Prayer and supplication are important, but it is wonderful to come to God for no reason other than to just celebrate him. That is when we feel truly near to the heart of God in heaven. One of the reasons we don't love God as much as we should is because we don't know him as well as we ought. To know God is to love him and to worship him. To know him is to be overcome with who he is, and then out of that explosion within our hearts to worship and love him. I love that. To know him is to be overcome with who he is, just to be so amazed and in awe and just bowing down, just unbelievably wonderful, unbelievably marvelous. Undescribable, joyous. And then it explodes in our hearts. I know one thing Dr. Kathy was saying, it was just, that's like an explosion. I'm going to blow up. Because it is such an awesome truth that has no boundaries, because we've learned how eternal he is. and almighty and all power and ever present, you know, what can hold him? Even in these temples, it is such a marvelous thing, you know, that it's like, you know, it's more than my mind can deal with. It's just so wonderful. And so it's what is then the essence of worship. It is the celebration of God. When we worship God, we celebrate him. We extol him. We sound his praises. We should not be pumped and primed to do it. It's just when I think about the goodness of God. And I love that song that he is good. He is good. And he runs after us with his goodness. We boast of him. You tell people, do you know what God will do? You know, one of the things I think Apostle wants us to do, a testimony, but the testimony should have more in there about what God does than what the enemy did that put you on your knees to make you go to God. Worship is not the gathering of just no people, you know, drowned out with music and shouting and stuff. Not that that's not it, but that's not all. We celebrate God when we allow that to just be a prelude to tune our hearts to the glory of God. Sometimes the authors and artists and musicians have been given such an anointing that when they release it, it connects with what's in our hearts that sometimes is so difficult to say it. We can't find words for it. You know, we can't find an expression for it. And yet the sound of their music, the cadence of the beat and the symphony of the instruments are speaking more than to just our ears, but they're speaking to our spirit. And it's a spirit of worship and celebration. Worship is not mumbling a prayer or mouthing a hymn with little thought or less art, or, you know, we've said it so many times that we're not even saying the right words anymore. We're just making the right sounds, okay? I remember we would do the Dr. Watts, you know, and, you know, when the old folks got through, you know, it was, it was praise God from who all blessings flow. You know, Graham, and we didn't know what we were saying. And then when you realize, above ye creatures, here below, you know, and I didn't know that part of it till I was grown. But we had said it every Sunday at the beginning and at the end. So it was just with little thought and less art, less understanding. We celebrate God when we join together earnestly in prayer and earnestly in song. One of the most powerful songs that I really enjoy watching the individuals sing is Psalms 34 with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, because the two gentlemen that sing it, they're singing it together earnestly. It's like each one is expressing that worship that's within them, and it becomes contagious. You know, it goes all over the church and all over that mass choir. And when choir members, which I think is one of the bonds that cause a choir to stick together, is because as we sing the same song in the same melody or in harmony, we are touching the one thing that we do have in common. And that's our knowledge of God and our love for him. And that's what makes it so marvelous. Sometimes a choir rehearsal was as good as church, because it was the word, and it was a time where worship just flowed. Worship is not self-gratifying words nor boring cliches. People saying the same thing over and over and over. Come on now. God is too fresh and new, and he got too much about him that we should be still saying the same thing. And I said it in the beginning, you know, when I think about the goodness of God, okay, there has to be a new way. There has to be another way to say that exact same thing, because God is every day, his mercies are new. So my expression of that newness should be fresh. It should be fresh. We celebrate him with all the parts of the service when they fit together, not just waiting for the choir or just waiting for the preacher. you know, but every aspect of the worship service just is a building a crescendo of releasing the joy we have in us as we come in his presence. And he comes down in our praise, in our pulling him down because we are worshiping him. Worshiping is not grudgingly given or compulsively serving. So, oh, it's my Sunday to serve. No, oh, this is a joy, and I can do this, and I thank God for it. Not that you don't do it every Sunday, but you do it every Sunday anew and afresh as an expression of your love and your worship for God, because this week he did some stuff he didn't do last week. He did all of that, and then he did some more. And so it is not just something that I do because it's my Sunday to do it, but it's something that I'll do. I will pick it up off the floor, and it's not my Sunday to do it, okay? I will, what is that one thing said, seek someone to serve, seek someone to look to and to look for. I just need juice. Okay. So I think that part of that worship is not distracted. Endurance of the sermon. Oh, I wish he was finished. How long has he been? You know, in everything, I don't care what is going on, and I don't care how we want to assess the service. We come to worship him, and the assessment is of our relationship with him, because he said, well, two or three are gathered, I'm there. So if he is there, there's nothing that should distract us. There's nothing that should bore us. There's nothing even that should come poorly done or half done without us feeling convicted and repentance in our hearts. When we celebrate God as we hear his word gladly and seek to conform to it more and more to the image of God, this is one more opportunity. There's another chance for me now to conform to him. There's another chance for me to repent and to seek his face. There's another chance for me to hear his voice through the words that are being said or the music or the song or just what's in the atmosphere and him speaking to us. Worship is a thoughtful gift, is as we celebrate someone's birthday or anniversary. Okay, but it is a warm celebration of life. It is an embracing of the marriage or the union that we have with God. I mean, it was pretty phenomenal that he chose to be married to the backslider. That's something that should make us just shout every day, okay, because we have backslidden. And as we have, he renewed his covenant with us. I am married to you. And he keeps his covenant forever, forever. So we have to, people love to celebrate him. And we, God's people should love to celebrate him. We should love to celebrate him, which is one of the reasons we're doing this this year at Labor's, the study of the festivals of Israel. They were always celebrating. The Jewish citizens were always exuberant about something they wanted to remember that God had done. They studied, they sang, they danced, they blew the trumpet, they did the cymbals during these feast days, and they did it all day. Some did it all day, all night, for a week. You know, that service is too long, that's it, let's go, okay. That is not worship, and that is not the heart of a worshiper. That's like when we were, I think it was the last couple of Sundays, we were worshiping, and then when it was all over and we saw, oh, wow, it's almost 3 o'clock. You know, we started this at 10:30, but it didn't seem that way while we were doing it because it was just such a powerful connection and time of being in the presence of God. And as God's people, we celebrate him. We celebrate that he will still come down and dwell among us. In, you know, our woe state of a saint, but fallen and flawed, and yet still he comes. One of the things that the children of Israel and God made communicated through his word was the fact that whenever the children of Israel were in a place they shouldn't be, God broke into their lives. In unexpected ways, he intervened. He came into their life. And then when they look back on it, they rejoiced at that. When God got through, they were rejoicing. They were glad. It was a reverent sense of who he was, so they gave him another name. Oh, that was the God. I'm going to get one of these names I can pronounce. That was the Jehovah Rapha. Oh, okay. Oh, now that's a whole different story, you know, and you rejoicing and celebrating that. Incredible blessings when we see them in the context of the scripture, but they're even more incredible when we look at them in our lives. They all follow the same holy formula. They are all Jehovah Yahweh, that song that just is resounding in this season, in this house, Yahweh, Yahweh, just saying it invokes a connection that just is a line of love drawing us closer to Yahweh, Yahweh. I should have played that today, too. But anyway, so it is those things that, but it's those times that David often penned in poems, in the Psalms, of that presence of God and how it transformed his life and his heart and his thinking. I love it when he says, "So, you know, why are you downcast?" You know, he had talked to himself. You know that the living God. Come on, soul. And that's what we have to do in knowing these names and attributes and qualities and the essence of God. That's what it does. The flesh may be in a certain place, but the spirit is in the presence of God, and the spirit will dictate the soul. What's your problem? Okay. You know, the God of eternity, the God eternal and almighty and knowing, the God that's ever present, Jehovah the Most High, the maker and the mediator, the man of sorrow, the prophet and the priest and the king. Do you not know he's our friend? He's our friend. The Lord will provide. He is our friend. One of the things about the Lord is our banner, I forgot to share, was also say that the Hebrew term came from the word meaning to glisten. It referred to the insignia suspended at the top of the pole, which was lifted up to identify the tribe and the people. On the mountaintop, Moses had lifted up the rod of God in victory. He looked down on the banners waving in the wind, marking the 12 tribes of Israel. What a sight. The Lord is my identity. The Lord is my victory. The Lord is my banner. That is an awesome statement of fact and truth that if you even just think to look down, and remember, they were a nation of over 600,000 men. Okay, so can you see those 12 banners flying in the, well, not flying, they said it was kind of metal, but lifting up in the wind and indicating this is the tribe of Judah. This is the tribe of Ishbak. This is the tribe of Reuben. This is, you know, and so seeing their own particular tribes, and then Moses, lifting up his rod, this all now is under the banner of the Lord God, the army of heaven that the apostles shared with us. So, insight, inspiration, your name of God.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
You know, I hate to come behind Apostle,
But I was thinking that same name, but from a totally different perspective. So I'm going to say it because I guess God is big enough for both of us. Right?
Yes.
But I had never, before we even did this book a couple of weeks ago or whatever at my church, we were doing a Name of God thing, and the one that I got was Sabaoth, the same one that Apostle had just referenced. And I had never really paid any, honestly, I had never really paid any attention to it. I always thought it was Sabaoth. Until I studied it, and it's like, okay, my whole church been saying it wrong my whole life, because it really is Sabaoth, you know, and it's spelt like that. But it's, even though I know it's spelt like that, I learned how to say it as Sabaoth. So that took 3 or 4 days trying not to say Sabaoth on Zoom to the people when I was doing the presentation. But in doing that, that whole host of the angel armies, you know, just to me was just kind of mind-blowing because I never really thought about that because I always was indoctrinated with, you know, Satan is the prince and the power of the air, which he is, and I know that's true. But I also included in that power play of Satan, so the prince, the earth. But the scripture talks about, no, that the host of the angel of armies, you know, the Lord of hosts, is the one who is in control of what's happening in the world. So when Holy Week came and I was doing something on Holy Week and looking at the crucifixion, it made me, one of the insights was that the things that happened in the second half of the crucifixion, that was the host of the angel army, that was, you know, Sabaoth, the whole idea that the ground opened up, that the earth was covered in darkness, that, you know, that the veil in the temple rent from top to bottom, that was the host of, you know, that was the Lord of hosts that was making that happen. That wasn't, Satan was didn't open up the ground and let, you know, believers walk on top again. You know what I mean? That was an act of God, you know, the whole darkness covering the face of the earth. I've always heard in the moon ran down in blood. I've never seen that in the scripture, but it sounds good poetically. But, that, you know, that name was just, I just never thought about it like that, and I just never heard of it. And so when I think of things, when you think of the pandemic or I think of these tsunamis or these incredible wildfires, all of these things that happen with the forces of nature, you know, kind of understanding that that doesn't necessarily mean that that's Satan who is doing something crazy. That might be God who's just trying to get our attention because it is still under the his creation is still under his power, I guess is what I'm trying to say. As the host of heaven, so. That was it. That was that was kind of my name in that, just in that whole revelation of this season. Like I said, it was just a name I had never focused in on, never really thought about. You know, it was just a name in the list of names. You know, Jehovah this one, Jehovah that one, Jehovah this one. But, you know, over the years, I definitely would say Jehovah Rapha, my healer, that knowing that health and wellness and healing are all three different pieces of the very same thing, you know, but the look and the manifestation can be different, you know, that the look for healing per se from a prescriptive perspective might not be what's there. Is it health? Is it wellness? Is it, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think that has a name that that I had relationship with, that I have come to know in a different kind of way. The same kind of thing with Jehovah, my peace, or Jehovah who is there. Or when I think Jehovah who is there, Jehovah who is here, you know, Jehovah Shammah, that, you know, just being able to know and then appropriate that so that peace, you really do feel that peace. And, you know, the anxiety can leave, that the fear can leave. You know, because there's a confidence in knowing that he is there and he makes himself known. That's the awesome part, not just knowing the name, but, you know, he will come and sup with us. You know, he dwells within us, but he will remind us of that indwelling peace that, you know, just, you know, passes all understanding. It just sounds so trite, but that really is the truth, that it just passes all understanding in, you know, in certain situations when you know, okay, I really probably should be going off the rails given the world standard, you know, for this or for that. But even in the midst, you know, God can give us peace so that, obviously, so that we can be a witness for somebody else. I mean, it's the whole idea that, you know, when we do what we need to do and people can see it, then that allows them to be desirous or at least curious. What is it? How can you, you know, those kinds of things. And so I think he wants us to trust him so that we show up in the world as credible witnesses for who he is and what he tells us and assures us that he can do and is doing through us, you know. But we, you know, we do have to be active participants.
Absolutely. And I believe that as we, I was going to say learn the names, it's not really learn, as we experience him and experience some things about him that we didn't experience before because we weren't in the place that we're going to be in. He said we've never been this way before. So there's going to be some aspects of him that we're going to become more familiar with and we weren't before because we were never there. Okay? You don't have to learn how to swim when you're in the desert. But then when you move to the seashore, you need to learn how to swim. So there's things that, you know, and we may have known about water and swimming, but we never did it. And so now, you know, there's going to be some things that we're going to experience that we've never experienced before. So we need to expect, you know, go to every morning asking him, what name are you going to reveal to me, you know, about your attributes, your character, your very essence, okay, for today? And expect this. And I know he will show you because he wants us to know about him. He wants us, he wants to prepare us even for the knowledge of him. And so we have to be obedient in the ministry of the Holy Spirit so that we are good ground for him to sow his miracles in and to put his revelation in, make that that revealed knowledge of him. Because as we remember, John went through much persecution, isolation, oppression. But in doing it, he ended up receiving the revelations of God that's in the last book of the Bible. And so it came through a life that had been persecuted and surrendered to him. And that kind of leads us. One thing I do want to say about this book, as we have finished it, is it ends with Philippians 3 and 10 in the Amplified Bible.
Wow.
Yes, I just thought that was just amazing. The other book started with it, and this book ends with it. My determined purpose is. And that has to be our determined purpose, what we desire to do with our hearts. So we're laying it down, unless there's any more questions, comments, insights, inspirations. I suggest that it be a part of just your review from time to time. Look over the study guide for different sections because they are definitely things that we need to continue to keep in the forefront of our mind. But sometimes you read a book, we put it down, and that's the end of that. And that is not going to be the best way to do this. I think we're going to always, even with one-on-one on God, I think it's wonderful to just keep reading the daily scriptures, keep reading the scriptures that relate to certain topics of life, keep doing the assessments, and when you find yourself lacking, then, you know, go and see what the book says as a discipline you need to embrace. And as you do all of that, for next week, you're going to have to start reading the book of Job, because our first meeting will, in May, will be surrounded by a study of the book of Job. We're going to get some background information we'll share next week. Get your books. The name of the book is Turn a Curse into a Blessing by Paul Carm, C-R-A-C-A-R-A-M-S. Paul Carm. You can get it on Kindle from Amazon for, I think it's $8.99 on Kindle from Amazon. And then you can get the book itself from Vanderbilt Publishing. And that is $11.99. So I trust that everybody will get your book. And you'll have at least 2 weeks, because we'll read the first 5 chapters. We're going to go through some history for the next 2 weeks. That's what we'll do, and give everybody opportunity to get their books. Questions, comments, concerns? Now, don't disappear on me because we're doing the book of Job. Hello.
Can't wait.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. One of the commentaries that I was looking at, you know, shared the fact that most people, you know, look at all of the, you know, the things that happen, and yet it is a book of rejoicing. I know a lot of people may not see it that way, but we will before we through, because God will show us. He will really show. He will show us, and I think it's time for him. Well, no, not time for him. No, because he know the, you know.
Let me rephrase that, right?
yeah, exactly. He has prepared us. That's what I'm trying to say. And we are ready. He has given us, think about the teachings that he's given us, stuff we did, may not have known. He said, now you need to know this. You need to know about the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit. You need to know that now, okay? You need to understand about absurrender. You need to understand about the grip of grace. When you just go down the list of the books that we've read, they're leading us through a journey. And so this is a indication of, and then for a lot of people, a lot of this stuff has happened already in their life. And so we want to respond correctly to it. I love Secret of the Vine. I do, because it explains to me what my, you know, it says, rejoice when you're being disciplined, because, you know, he disciplines those he loves. You know, that was not how I looked at that vine. Oh, I done seen it. I'm like, Joel's friend, you did something wrong. Okay. And yet, we need to understand God don't think like we think. And because he's sovereign, don't think you got, you know, I know what he's going to do. I know how he's going to do it. No, you don't. So he will be true to who he is. But how he does it generally is so beyond our understanding and thinking. It really is, but it's all good. That's the point. What are you going to do when we need to be looking at who he is and why he's doing it? And then we'll understand that's a joy for us. because he's taking the time to do it, okay? And so we are going to look at this thing different. You know, we're not going to be we're going to be afraid at the hand of God. His hand loves me. I'm in his hand. It can't hurt me. It may trouble my human side, but generally my human side needs to be troubled. Otherwise, it thinks too highly of itself than it should. So we're going to understand some things that in a different perspective that I think will give us a joy in the journey. Christ said he counted all of it as joy. He counted it all as joy. It's like, you know what they did to you? I can just say, yeah, I was there. And do you know who I was and I let them do it? That's because I trust them. And that's one of the things that Apostle shared on Wednesday, that oftentimes we don't obey because we really don't trust. And we beat ourselves up because we really want to obey, and we work at trying to obey, where he wants us to embrace trusting, because once you trust him, then you will do it. And so you don't have to struggle to do it, because if you trust, it will come natural. It just will, because you trust. They do that. Okay. You don't give it no thought, hesitation, questions. He said, do it. All right. Well, let me just make sure. You sure that's what you said? Now, we may do that, okay? But then, because we trust him, we will obey. So, be blessed. There's a lot of things going on this weekend, this month. I think, when is that symposium, Elder Devon? Y'all hung up on me?
No, I was on mute. May 7th. It's Saturday. Not Saturday.
Oh.
The first Saturday in May. I think that's the 7th. But it's Saturday at 10 o'clock. You know, in May.
Okay, isn't it
first
Friday?
Saturday in May.
Saturday?
10 o'clock. Pardon?
It's Friday and Saturday. Right?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
I said it's Friday and Saturday. Some is virtual and some is on site.
Yeah, that is true. So what I was speaking about was the Saturday. I'm not really sure about the Friday piece, what time and that kind of thing.
So is the Saturday one virtual? Okay.
The Saturday one is virtual, 10 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right.
And then we
check their emails. That's all I can say. I'm sure it'll be in there.
Yes, and then we have something going on tonight with our own Elder Deborah Wilson. Is going to be the keynote speaker. Yes, at Laborers for Christ, that starts at 6. And from Step of Faith Ministries, Pastor D'Altro Ford, come out for that. And then it's first Sunday in May. Hallelujah.
Yeah, can you believe it? Wow.
And then on Wednesday, we have a trio, apostle, ambassadorial prophet, and bishop. Okay, and they're putting us in tribes and groups and all kind of such as that. Okay.
Is this at the 6:30 hour on Wednesday?
Yes, ma'am. 6:30 on
okay.
Wednesday on Zoom. The Zoom thing.
Okay.
All right. So be blessed and enjoy and worship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's a lot of people
Amen.
Online. At least it's back.
Amen.
Bye. Amen.
No, don't say bye.
I missed all of you our sessions. But I just wanted to say I enjoyed this session today because my supervisor's not here, and so I'm doing some research for work. But I said, well, let me listen and be encouraged. But truly, I was encouraged to hear different people talk about their names of God. And so I'm just saying that I really enjoyed it. Hopefully I get a chance to listen again.
I do. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And my favorite
all right,
one
then.
Is the Lord God is sovereign. I just, that's all, all I can
right.
say. That's all
Amen.
I can say. And I
that
am
says
that
it
I
all.
Am. He is whatever you need him to be, he is it.
Yeah.
And this is the season to just thank him for being I am that I am. So I'm enjoying this. I'm encouraged.
Amen.
Y'all have a good day. Okay. All right.
Okay.
God bless.
Amen. Amen.